Good morning, and welcome to the Thursday edition of The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jim Healy. I'm without Jack today. I am Jackless. But with me, I'm not alone. We have Kelly Burt. She is the children's coordinator at the library. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. So nice to see you again.
Good to see you as well. And Emily Levine. I knew I was going to blow that.
That's okay.
From the Red Wheelbarrow Produce. Boy, that's sort of a tongue twister, isn't it? Red Wheelbarrow.
Well, it comes from a poem, so maybe he was trying to make it difficult.
William Carlos Williams.
Wow, you get a free bunch of carrots at the next farmer's market.
That's one of the shortest poems he ever wrote.
It is.
Okay, you heard her, Kelly.
A free bunch of carrots.
How long do I have to wait?
Oh, dear. Probably about 5 months.
Okay. Yes. We'll talk about that poem. I love it. Let's do the weather first, and then we'll begin talking about an event that is happening this Saturday at the library, Natural Connections, but the weather. Right now, it is 16 degrees. Did it feel like 16 degrees when you came in?
It felt like 16 degrees to me.
It was lovely.
You know, well, keep that in mind, because with no wind,
mm-hmm.
This is perfect. It says today, the forecast, mostly cloudy with a high near 32, calm wind. Oh, I love a calm wind.
That's nice.
Yeah, rather one that gets into your scarf and into your gloves, that sort of thing. Then tonight, cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 17. Okay. What? It's going to be lower than it is now. Okay. Higher. Friday is Sunday. Sunny, 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 sunny. I'm looking at it's cookie cutter all the way to Wednesday. So you're right, Emily. Lovely weather.
I really enjoy it. Like you, the wind is my least favorite element. So a calm wind and a cold day, I'll take it.
Absolutely. So how are you faring in the cold weather, Kelly?
I'm doing great. I actually really like it. The sunshine, the calm wind. I will take the sunshine even with a wind, honestly. I just need that sunshine.
Well, get ready for it. You're going to get blessed. One of the things I find interesting is that I was looking at the Weather Channel last night, and Louisiana is canceling, like, basketball games and because of snow. And here we are in town.
Snowless.
Snowless. I have yet to use my snow shovel.
You can come to my house. I'm in the eye of the Selly Valley snow pocket, and not like we're loaded, but we have snowmen and crunchy snow on the ground.
Well, I'm not a skier, but I guess up higher.
Oh, it's great. Fantastic skiing.
And especially with the sunny days, that's got to make it really marvelous up there.
Yeah, it is like picture perfect, especially on like a midweek day like today. I bet it's primo skiing up there today. Unfortunately, we have to work as people down below.
What are you looking at me for?
Well, maybe you don't. Maybe I'm the only one.
Well, I'm here with you.
Yeah.
I did look ahead to the weather forecast, and it looked like some precipitation, not this weekend, but next weekend, the tail end of January. So, because, you know, I would imagine up there you'd like to get more snow. There's no such thing as too much snow.
Yeah, I think we'd take it. Even down in town, I'd love some sledding at the house or sledding at the sled hill.
Oh, well, you know, as long as it doesn't land on our driveway. Okay, let's get going on why we got you out so early on this chilly morning. Kelly, do you want to give an overview about what's happening at the library this Saturday, and then we'll just have a conversation about it?
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm really excited. This Saturday at the library, East Bonner County Library, we are going to be having our Natural Connections, our January Natural Connections. It runs 10 to 4. It's a free event. You can come and go as you please. It's also the National Seed Exchange Day. So the whole day's events are more or less there to celebrate National Seed Exchange Day. So we'll have a seed exchange going on all day. The exchange is just come and take if you need to. You can give if you have some. We received some wonderful donations from local entities, local farmers. We saved seeds in the library garden. We also received a really generous donation from Snake River Seed Cooperative. They donated close to like 10 pounds of seeds, and they're all locally sourced seeds from different farmers in this region. So they're suited for our climate. So that's going on all day. Starting at 10 a.m. from 10 to 11, we're going to have a 1-hour presentation from Seed Savers Exchange, which is located in Iowa. They are going to be doing a Zoom presentation, which is really cool. These guys have been, this is their 50th year of being a seed saving cooperative. They're going to give us the history. They have this beautiful farm in Iowa. They're a huge organization. Then at 11, our guest of honor, Emily, is going to be doing garden planning, and I'll let her expand on that. At 1 p.m., we're going to be doing a program on embracing bitters. And I believe you had Jennifer on a couple weeks ago. Did she come on with Joyce?
I think she was on, let's see, last week.
Okay.
And that was fascinating.
Yeah. I'm really excited. It's going to be a hands-on event. So we always love to incorporate at least like one hands-on event during our Natural Connection. So she'll be there and you'll get to walk away with some bitters as well as knowledge about why bitters are important and how you can incorporate them into your daily life. And then the last one is a really interesting, they're all really interesting, but this one's pretty cool too. Because I come from the East Coast. And so when I moved here, I was like, why can't we tap maples in this area? I don't understand. Why are they only on the East Coast? So this program at 3 p.m., we're going to talk about maple tapping in the Pacific Northwest. And this gentleman's coming from Missoula, Montana. His company is called Montana Maple Works, and he taps maple trees in the Pacific Northwest, specifically Missoula. But he's going to come here, and he's going to talk about ways you can tap maple trees. He actually has maple tapping equipment that he can give out for free. So it's going to be a really cool day of learning all about kind of like natural things, but really celebrating community and seed saving.
Okay. Should we go down each of the four breakdown of the day? This is this Saturday, the 25th at the library. I always want to say on Division, but the address is Cedar.
Cedar, yeah.
Yeah, so Cedar and Division beginning at 10 a.m., and there's no charge.
No charge, always free.
And you walk in through the main doors and take a hard left.
Take a hard left, and you'll see us there. We'll have the two conference rooms will be combined to one. Okay. There will be a seed exchange off to the side, so if you don't want to participate in the programs, you're welcome to just come in and talk to myself or some of my volunteers that will be there, and we'll be handing out seeds and kind of explaining what our seed library is all about at the library.
Okay. And so would you like to introduce Emily, and Emily can talk about garden planning and saving seeds and all sorts of good things.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm so excited Emily took time out of her busy day and life. And she's going to explain about starting seeds and kind of early preparation and choosing seeds and sourcing seeds. And a lot of you know her from that wonderful smiling face at the farmer's market. She's been a staple there for, it's really hard to imagine you're even that old.
Oh, dear.
So you've been there for like 15 years, right?
Yeah. This will be my 18th year.
18 years. That's
go
crazy
away.
To me that you are. Yeah. She's a staple at the farmer's market. So if you come to the farmer's market, you've seen Emily. And she's going to be presenting on, what are you presenting on, Emily?
Well, at 11 o'clock, I will be doing a presentation about planning your garden. So this is dreamy time for gardens and for gardeners. And I'm planning on covering kind of as many aspects as I can of planning gardens. So the first thing I'll really want to focus on, since the day is sort of focused on seeds, is seeds, understanding them, what different words mean, like organic, like GMO, like hybrid, open pollinated, what do those mean, and what do they mean for you and your garden? Different sources for seeds, including, you know, catalogs, your seed racks at the local hardware store, saving your own seed. What about plants that just come up in your garden, volunteers? So I'll talk about different definitions and ideas around that. And then I'll talk a little bit about the best seeds for the best crops for like starts inside, like things that you want to transplant into your garden, either yourself starting the seeds or buying a plant, or things that are better to just directly seed the seeds right into your garden space. and then ways, the best ways to do that seed starting in your own space if you want to. And talk a little bit about spacing in your garden and how to get what you want to get. So, and some like organic amending, sort of just a big picture of garden planning.
And before we get too far into, and there's, I have lots of questions about what you've, what's your background? How did you become interested in, is this something from being a child or can you give a little bit of background to?
Sure. Yeah. No, it's not really something that I grew up with. I grew up, we did have like family dinner every night. Like food was a central part of my life growing up as a family, but where the food came from was never questioned ever to me. It came from the grocery store. I didn't think twice.
Were you a big city person?
Suburbs. Yep. Suburbs, I grew up in the suburbs. I didn't garden. I didn't really get my hands dirty. My idea of like outside was the softball field or the soccer field. That was my outdoor experience as a kid. And then I kind of went, I went to college and honestly, I started, I got kind of like all worked up like you do at college about, the industrial food system, on more of like an intellectual level. And I became vegan and got really mad about meat processing. And then I went after college, I got hired on a Indian reservation, the White Earth Indian Reservation in northern Minnesota. I was working for Winona LaDuc. And I worked there for about a year before I realized how little I actually knew about what I was supposed to be sharing and how it just didn't feel right to me to come in as this like white girl and try. I was supposed to be like, I was the sustainability coordinator and I was supposed to be helping the native elders and other native people help them garden. And they said like, oh, it's okay that you don't really know how, like you'll just be coordinating. But the reality was I was kind of preaching to the choir and I didn't like that I was hired for this role because I had this degree, but really the people who lived there knew so much more about their land and their food and their way of life than I did. So I quit and thought, oh, I'll go work on a farm for a summer and then I'll know all about growing food. And then I can come back and, you know, and teach the brown people what, what I know now that I've done it for 6 months. And, then I ended up out here in Sandpoint. I came out to work at Green Tree Naturals, Diane Green's farm out there on Rapid Lightning, and worked there a couple days a week for the summer. And what I realized there is like, wow, first of all, I love this. And second of all, there's so much to know. And so then I, the next summer worked on a horse-powered farm that used to be out there on West Pine Street, on the loop there, and for my friends Brandon and Fosha Mims, who used to have a horse-powered vegetable farm, they would come to the farmer's market. They used to bring their draft horses to the farmer's market for Harvest Fest and do hay rides. They had dairy cows and all the things. And so I did that for a summer, and eventually, not at that, after that, decided I wanted to do it for myself, which was not a whole lot of experience. And I started on a very small plot of land, like a half an acre, which grew to an acre after a couple of years. And then now I have a 4-acre garden.
That is huge. How about you, Kelly? Do you get dirt underneath your fingernails?
I do, yep, pretty regularly, whether I want to or not. Yeah, I garden as well. I also started with kind of rose-colored glasses, thinking, I can farm. I know how to do this, and moved out here to farm, and did so for about 4 summers, and just got really tired and decided that I needed to take a break, and took a break, and then managed the farmer's market for a couple of years, and that was just wonderful. I was able to kind of raise my babies at the farmer's market, which is dreamy and sweet, and, you know, they have their tree there, and it was wonderful, all the while still gardening. So I've always gardened. I haven't always gardened. I have gardened since I moved to Sandpoint. I also didn't grow up gardening. My grandparents were farmers, but it was never something that I did or grew up doing. So I've just learned by making mistakes along the way and talking to people at the co-op, talking to people everywhere just about gardening and checking out books at the library. Mm-hmm. I've learned a ton from the library.
No.
I just think that it's such an interesting thing. Like I am always blown away by how many people garden, whether they grew up doing it or not, and how many people, especially in this area, just we can't stay away from it. Like, as human beings, we love to grow things. And I sell a lot of plant starts at the farmer's market, and every year I am blown away by the number of people in this county who grow vegetable gardens. And I just think it's a beautiful thing, whether you have done it before or not, to get your hands in the dirt.
I have to admit, I'm a flower person.
Oh, yeah.
Great. You know, that's so important.
That I'm not a vegetable person. But which I think transfers over both to either flowers or vegetables. The magic of putting something in the ground. Mm-hmm. And it coming up, you know, there's that element. I don't know about for you guys, but for me, it's like, it's awesome.
Magic every time.
Yeah. And then it grows and it gets a leaf, and just absolutely gorgeous. That's all I can say. And I do want to say there's a poem, not only at Wim Carlos Williams, The Red Wheelbarrow, but I think it's Dylan Thomas, The Forest Through the Green Fuse Grows the Flower. The image of it, like the shoot of the whatever's growing, the energy that pushes up the rest of the plant. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to stand in awe of the little seed and then what results. Mm-hmm. What's your most awesome thing in the ground that when it comes up, you just, wow. Is there any one?
I think for me, right, it's like you're getting excited about flowers. It's like the thing you're the most excited about is the thing you should grow, whether that's the idea or not. Like for me, it's always the thing that came to my brain when you asked that question was onions, but it's actually not because of anything really to do with onions. I don't think it's just because it's always the first thing I plant. And so it's the first seed I watch come up. And that is extra magical every year, that I just to watch a seed sprout is just like, oh, yeah, magic.
Mm-hmm. And especially at this time of year, isn't it, though, that, well, I don't know, but garlic is in the ground now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that I find fascinating, that what does it do all winter, like now when it's cold?
Sleeping. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just dormant. Yeah.
Yeah, they have their little nightcaps on and their jammies.
Just reading and drinking tea.
I oftentimes wonder.
Watching the worms go by.
Are the worms moving right now?
They're pretty sleepy.
They're probably sleepy too.
So what is so sort of like it's just waiting for something to happen?
Yeah, I think that most of the, you know, the plants that we grow up here evolved in areas with winter. So they need a deep, cold sleep in order to regenerate in the spring. So that's like built into their evolution, that to, it's built into their life cycle to have a cold chill.
Now, is anything else in the ground right now besides garlic?
I mean, some people overwinter. I think that's really challenging in this area to deal with moles and voles and rot and all that. I don't know if you still overwinter.
I don't have any crops growing in the ground outside. I do have a greenhouse that I'm still harvesting from. And then, you know, there are crops that if you were trying to produce seed, if we want to talk about seed, there are some crops that are biennials, right? So that means that they produce their seed the second year of their growth. So a lot of root crops like beets and carrots, for example, are biennials. So in the natural world, if you were a carrot, you would grow, you know, a seed would fall, you would, it would sprout, a carrot would grow. And then in this case, the carrot doesn't get eaten. Right. So this carrot stays in the ground.
Okay.
So the winter comes, the carrot is insulated maybe by snow or leaves that fall on top of it.
Right.
And then it sits in the ground like the garlic all winter. And then in the spring, it sprouts again. And you're going, ooh, my carrots are growing back. Well, but this time in the spring, instead of just growing a nice green leaves, it sends up a flower stalk, which we call, in gardening, we call it bolting. When something sends up a flower stalk that we don't really want to send up a flower stalk. So if our lettuce does that in the middle of the summer or our cilantro.
That's not good.
It's not good if you want a tender, sweet crop. But if you want seeds, it's great. So, we don't want our lettuce. Once our lettuce bolts, its leaves get bitter and we don't want to eat it anymore.
Okay.
But if we want to save seed from that crop, then bolting is the first step. Well, the 10th step, but, you know, the first step, the first step after growing the crop toward lettuce seed. So this carrot would send up a shoot, open into a flower that you guys has the best smell in the whole wide world. It's subtle.
But marker
it's
on that. Amazing. Emily, marker. Emily
it's really good. I can attest. Yeah.
And then that flower, which is in the dill cilantro family, so it's going to look like that umbrella-like flower, is going to mature and produce seed. And that's how you get carrot seed. Now, people who do that commercially don't want their carrots to either freeze too hard or get eaten by voles, like Kelly said. So they're going to grow a carrot, just like you and I, harvest it, just like you and I. Or maybe not you. I'm the gathering flower. Roses.
I'm the flower guy.
and then keep it in their cooler all winter. And then in the spring, instead of planting carrot seeds, they're going to go out there and plant carrots. And the carrots are going to sprout.
Boom.
And then they're going to produce seed. And that's so when you're opening a pack of carrot seeds, it took 2 years to get that carrot seed.
Interesting.
So it's a pretty interesting, fascinating thing to think about. It's an entirely different, some crops are easier than that to grow seeds for, but growing seed is pretty fascinating, or just learning about it.
Funny you mentioned carrots, because I remember as a kid growing up way back when my mother, when she'd get, let's say in the fall or winter months, a package of carrots from the grocery store, she'd cut off the tops and then put them in little saucers, and we'd watch them grow on the windowsill. Mm.
Oh, put the tops in the saucer?
Put the tops in the saucer.
Oh, that's
and, right. I don't know how long we kept them or what happened to them, but now, are the carrots that you use for the seeds good to eat?
Yep.
You could eat them.
Yep, they're the same, right? So the carrot itself is actually there just as an energy source for the carrot plant to produce seed, right? Just here to reproduce. Okay, you could debate that. But evolutionarily, right, we are here to make more of us. That is kind of how evolution seems to mostly define success as a species. So the carrot is there to store energy for the winter so that in the spring it can sprout, and then that energy, right, is sugar. It's sweet because it's sugar because it's energy, because sugar is good energy.
Well, I have a friend here in town plants carrots and then in the fall puts straw over them.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll pull them out in December, January, and they're like candy.
So, yeah.
So when you mention,
yeah.
Emily, that they become sweeter,
mm-hmm.
but not like the lettuce that gets
right. Bitter.
Bitter.
Yeah, the a lot of root vegetables, but also some greens get sweeter when they get cold. If you could taste a piece of parsley from my greenhouse right now, it's like... You don't think of sweet when you think of parsley,
no,
but it is
no,
so
no.
Sweet. It's uh-huh. also got that bitter parsley mm-hmm, thing, mm-hmm. but it's crazy how different it is from what you're used to in parsley. But yeah, root crops in particular, I always try to wait until like two or three good hard frosts before I harvest my carrots for storage because... The roots get so much sweeter because the sugars go into the root when mm-hmm. it gets cold because it's a signal for them that it's time to store the sugar in the plant, in the root, sorry.
Any other root crops that, you know, you said root crops, okay.
Beets do the same thing.
Can you leave them in for a while?
You could, so yeah, you could do that for anything, but you're risking... rodents and also like disease damage, or if the ground freezes too hard, that's what would happen like in the wild. But also a wild carrot is going to be a very different thing than the carrots that mm-hmm. we want, mm-hmm. which are quite yummy. But you could, yes, if you theoretically you could leave beets and carrots in the ground, keep them insulated so they don't freeze, somehow keep the rodents away from them, and then you could be digging them all year. Yeah.
So Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, well, one could have a whole weekend with just Emily.
I know.
The enthusiasm and the passion. So you're going to be talking about seed starting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this time of year, any gardener is getting inundated with brochures, pamphlets, catalogs mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. of seeds and whatever. Are you going to go through and talk about the different... you mentioned GMO and mm-hmm. things like that.
Yep. I'll go through all those definitions. I'll also go through good timing for our region. It can be really tempting, especially for people who are on social media to, or just have like, right, it's deep winter and nothing's growing and we get pretty excited and I see people go, oh, I'm starting my tomatoes now. That might be fun to watch them grow, but you're not going to have a healthy tomato crop if you start your tomatoes in January or February. I know a lot of
she
people.
Means it. She yeah, means yeah, it.
It's true. I'm off social media now, but when I was on it, every year I was watching people go, oh, I'm starting my tomatoes. And I'm going, okay, well, you know, unless you have a greenhouse and you know what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
It's just important to know the timing of things. And so I'll give you the timing that works for me, in this area. So we'll talk about that too.
Okay. And what will be some of the other things that you'll cover, in terms of the 11 o'clock hour?
Yeah. Spacing in your garden. I will talk about succession planting, which is a way to like keep your garden producing all summer. And you know, like you said, it could be a weekend. It could mm-hmm, be a whole mm-hmm, season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an hour and a half. So I'll cover as much as I can and try to leave room for some questions, but I'm going to try to cover, those things, and into like some timing and spacing and succession planting. And then I'll probably need to take a drink of water after talking for
have a snack
an hour and a half straight.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the other workshops look really exciting too.
Yeah. We're really excited for the other workshops. Yeah, I think I mentioned the 10 a.m. slot. I'm sure you're familiar with Seed Savers Exchange.
Just speak on that briefly.
Yeah. Just super excited. They're going to zoom in, like I mentioned earlier, and they're going to give us like a history of seed saving. So why we save seeds, like when it started, why it's important, kind of like that, like deeper, like why are we interested in this and why should we continue to do so? So I'm really excited for that one because
I've always watched Seed Savers Exchange, like watched my mailbox for their catalog to come in because they have beautiful varieties.
Seed saving is seeds themselves, it's a huge topic. That could be the only topic of the day easily. And there's just so much to say about even organic seeds, but like the bigger sort of agribusiness of seeds. And there's kind of a revolution happening. It's obviously some people have been doing this forever, but there's a little revolution of like small seed companies sprouting up and people who are growing seeds adapted for the region and starting to market them more for that, and saving seeds and growing them organically and with regenerative agriculture. Kelly mentioned the Snake River Seed Co-op. They're kind of our most local, awesome seed company doing really cool things. And there's lots of examples of that. So there's just so much to talk about and learn about when it comes to seeds. And it's like, sometimes we don't give the actual seeds and the way that they were grown enough thought. And so starting to be a little bit more intentional about, like, there's so much in a seed, so much. I mean, it's like you're 90% of the way to your garden when you just have the seed in your hand. Like, all that's gone into that seed is amazing. So,
well, as a flower person, different times of the years when I'm pedaling my bike around town, I have a Ziploc baggie. And if I see someone's nastertiums, I'll knock on their door and say, "Do you mind if I get a few of your nastertium seeds?"
Oh, that's nice of you fantastic. To knock.
Yeah.
Well, I am sure I'm on the cameras of the city county building because they have Columbine there.
Yeah.
And boy, do I shake out the Columbine seeds.
I just reached into the pocket of a sweater that I hadn't worn in a while. It was full of hollyhock seeds.
Oh, there you go. Nice. There you go. Yeah.
Found a good one.
And I laughed and went, "Oh, it's about time to plant those. I'm glad I found them, you know."
Rather than in the washing machine.
And, right. Exactly.
And you've lost them. What a fun topic, because I'm sure that, you know, you could spend hours just on spacing. You mentioned you have 4 acres, and Kelly, you might have...
I have a quarter acre garden. Yeah.
And somebody else might have a raised bed.
Yeah, or just planters.
Yeah. You know.
And what you can do there and what you can expect. What fun. Of course, you know, this all hinges upon, you know, when you talk about, like, tomatoes, you know, our growing region. You know, that if you're back east or if you're Midwest, you have a different window in which to maybe the variety of tomato you get, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and the timing, and then also diseases and pests that might be putting pressure on your plants are going to vary. Like, even the same latitude, you know, on the East Coast, you know, which is somewhere way up in Maine, because we're up there compared to the East Coast, you know. And
I think we're zone 3.
We're zone 5. Kind of depending. Like, we actually did shift a zone in the last 2 years. So
everybody did.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone did. Yeah.
I think of it as,
5, 6.
Yeah. 5. Okay. Oh, I don't think of 6.
I think, like, maybe Sandpoint proper.
Maybe Hope is might 6. Be. Yeah. Oh, Sam. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're looking at all me the in cement. The Selly Valley.
Yeah. I know. You got the cold.
I know.
Okay. Okay. I've got a question for each of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Imagine your gravestone.
Mm.
Okay. And Emily Levine, she could really grow
carrots.
You'd rest your reputation on carrots.
Yeah.
The bag of carrots that I'm going to get for knowing the William Carlos Williams poem.
Yeah. They are really good.
Wonderful. And Kelly, how about you? Kelly Burt. She rested her reputation on her gardening reputation on
growing. Oh boy, it varies year to year for me. You know, well, some years it's tomatoes if I get the timing right. If I'm out of town, timing is just wacky. So I would say, like, tomatoes, broccoli or zinnia, because I do put a lot of effort into my zinnias because I love them. And
What's your favorite zinnia?
I love the cactus zinnias. And I actually saved some seeds from the library garden of these cactus zinnias, and they were the most incredible colors. I have these like gorgeous pictures of them drying on the drying racks in the library greenhouse. And so I saved those seeds because they were just, they were some of the best zinnias I've seen. So those are my faves.
And flowers are usually, that's a really good place to start with seed saving.
Easy. I have 4 o'clocks. I have nasturtiums, cosmos. All of these things just are easy to get. How about herbs? Like in our garage, we have a pot of rosemary that's just doing fabulous, and parsley, thyme, you know, herbs, you know, you can move them in, indoors, sort of.
Yeah, there's kind of, in my brain, two categories of herbs. There's like tender herbs, like basil, dill, cilantro, and I would put parsley in there, and then, although it's a little hardier, and then like, and then
thyme,
yeah, right, the woody herbs, so like thyme, sage, rosemary, and those ones tend to be, are perennial, right, so they're going to come back every year, although rosemary in this area, like you said, you need to bring it in. I like to have rosemary in a pot. You can have it outside in the summer, and then
move it
bring it in the winter. Some winters it'll survive, but you know, it's not, you know, you go over to Portland and they're like trees.
Or San Francisco, there's huge bushes.
Hedgerows of them.
I just bury my face in them and then move your fingers over them. And
lavender is one that does well here.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're a whole, each one, like, there's a lot of families within herbs. And so there's a lot of different ways to treat different herbs. So,
And 1 o'clock on Saturday, the 25th, is Jennifer with Embracing the Bitters. And she was 2 weeks ago Joyce, because last week we had on the Kinnikinick Plant Society, and they
love
talked about
guys.
Seeds.
And
boy,
the native seeds. Yeah,
what's wonderful about you two, as well as everyone else, the passion that you have for what you do is wonderful. It is just absolutely so. And then we have maple tapping, and you're absolutely correct, Kelly. When I think of maple tap, I think of Vermont, New Hampshire. You know, the New England, upper New England states.
Well, we don't have like native sugar maples here, right? Like they're not in our woods. The only maple that we have in our woods are like vine maples.
Right.
But there's enough maples in town. I have tapped the maples in town and made maple syrup, Sandpoint maple syrup.
Are they sugar maples?
There are, most of the ones in town are sugar maples.
How did they get here?
People plant, I mean, we plant them. They're an ornamental, right? Because they also turn a beautiful red.
Right.
So, like a lot of the big old maples in town are sugar maples. I planted a few on my farm, but it's going to be 30 years before
that was our retirement plan.
And it doesn't hurt the tree to tap a tree. So most people, you can knock on their door and say, hey, do you mind if I tap your tree? And they're like, what's that? And then you get to explain to them what it is and that it doesn't hurt the tree. And then, you know, and then you can do it. And I mean, I could talk about it, but you should just come at 3 p.m. on Saturday.
And that's kind of exactly how this guy started, is he came, he was walking around Missoula and was like, look at all these sugar maples that are just sitting here. And so he started tapping on doors and asking if he could tap their maple trees.
Tapping on doors.
Tap, tap, tap. And so he started this kind of like little like urban revolution of tapping maple trees in Missoula. I think he went through some like legality problems and now he's got it really figured out. You know, make sure you're on private land or you have, you know, permission from the private landowners to do the tapping. But he'll also talk about tapping birch trees, because that's another thing that you can do that we have readily here. And it's a really good source of some minerals. It's really good for you.
Is it as flavorful as?
It's just a different.
It is. I don't think it's a much lower concentration of sugar. So that means, right, with maple syrup, I'm going to get my numbers wrong. Actually, I just won't use numbers. But you have to cook it down. I'm going to say somewhere between 20 and 40 times, right? You like you get the maple sap and then you have to cook that down, I think 20 times approximately to get syrup.
Yeah.
And then with birch, I think it's like two or three times that, right?
It's so a lot
that
you more.
Have to get it, right, you have to get a lot more sap in order to get syrup. Speaking of syrup, does everybody know that you can take apple cider and cook it down into a syrup? And it is so good.
No,
and
that is I need to do that.
Our best local syrup is if you have too much, we press cider every year.
Okay.
And then we have too much. You know, we can some of it, we drink some of it. We always make some hard cider. And then it's like, what do you do with the rest? Well, if you just put it in a pot and cook it all day.
I was going to say how, you know, it's pretty liquidy.
Mm-hmm. All day, pretty much, but not more than that. And it'll get reduced and reduced as it evaporates. Mm. And then you get to the end, I just like to get it to somewhere between maple syrup and honey.
Okay.
Maple syrup texture is perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I just start, once I think I might be getting close, because you can burn it, just scoop a tiny bit onto a spoon and put it in the fridge or the freezer so it cools off. That's the best way. Because right when it's warm, it's going to be looser than when it's cold. And you want it to be the right texture when it's cold. So, and then once it's cold, check the texture. And then you can it or you can just store it in the fridge.
Mm.
It's so good.
On some waffles? That sounds amazing.
I have
amazing.
It almost every morning. Yeah. On my oatmeal.
Whoa. I'm just thinking one could have a whole hour on this.
I know.
You know, on the apple cider.
On the tapping.
Maybe that's our next program.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw Brendan from Panada Theater outside the door. And Kelly?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for having us. And I did just want to mention a couple, like, real quick things. Always check the library calendar on our website for happenings. We have so much going on. Really, it's amazing how much. But I am also, this will be my last gig as the garden coordinator. I took a position as the children's coordinator, which I'm so excited about, so honored to have that position. So I want to mention a couple really interesting activities that we're going to have coming up. On Tuesday, January, 28th, from 4 to 6, we're going to have a preschool meet and greet. So that's really cool. So when I was putting my kids into preschool, I had to go around Sandpoint and go to every single preschool that we were interested in physically because I didn't know where to send them. So instead of parents having to do that, they can come to the library and meet all the local preschools and see what's a good fit for their kid.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent service.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Suzanne, our children's librarian, put that on and I just was like, that's just such a great idea. And then starting February 5th, we're going to have some additional story times in the library for kiddos and families. Popular demand, parents wanted some earlier story time. So starting Wednesday, February 5th, we're going to have a family story time at 9:15 and at 10:30. We're going to have a story time on Friday for the younger kids. And then we're going to have a Saturday story time at 10:30. So there'll be four options for families in this area to come to a story time to connect with to other caregivers and other children. So it's just a wonderful service that the library provides. And I'll be doing story time, which I'm super excited about.
Another service that the library has, you guys, the books are free.
Yeah, it's crazy.
My five-year-old
as many books
asked,
as you want.
This morning we were looking at the stack that we had, and he goes, "Mama, do we have to pay for those books?" and I got to wax poetic about the beauty of the library system, which sometimes we forget. It is one of the best systems that we have in this country.
I've often thought that a library is a good place to start if you're thinking about the health of a community.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
it was one of the first things that
visit the library.
Anchored me here in this town was I got to the library and I went, wow, this
absolutely.
Is amazing.
The library. Emily Levine from Red Wheelbarrow Produce and Kelly Burt the new children's librarian. Thank you both so very much.
Thanks for having us.
And one more time, Natural Connections this Saturday, January 25th. And you don't have to attend all of them. You can, let's say, if you just want to do garden planning, come at 11 o'clock.
Yep.
But Saving Seeds at 10, Garden Planning at 11, Embracing Bitters at 1, and Maple Tapping at 3.
And free seed exchange all day.
Cool. Thank you both so very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a music break, and we're going to play George Harrison's My Sweet Lord on this date, January 23rd, in 1971. It was the first ex-Beatles song to chart number one in England.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, after the breakup of the Beatles, which I think is both pre you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A little bit.
I mean, not like we didn't grow up with it, but we weren't there.
Okay. I do that with Jack all the time.
It's just a memory, just a thought.
My Sweet Lord, and then we're going to bring in Brendan from the Canada. George Harrison with My Sweet Lord on this date in 1971. He is the first ex-Beatle to have a number one song on the UK charts. And with me now, Brendan Kelty Naples from the Canada.
Good morning, Jim.
And that was a bitter song for George Harrison because it was in the court system for a long time because the person who wrote He's So Fine by the Chiffons claimed plagiarism. Mm. And that suit went on for, I think, until the early 90s. And I play He's So Fine next to My Sweet Lord. And
is it the chord progression? What are they?
There's something about My Sweet Lord, He's So Fine, something like that. Mm. And I'm not, that's got to be tough because, you know, as you, as a singer, and I don't know if you're a songwriter, but you're processing so much music and, you know, where something comes from, you know, you've assimilated so many different genres of music and whatever. And don't know, but.
I know. Most pop songs, contemporary songs, are the same four or five chords. Okay. So how do you not accidentally copy something that's been done in the last 75 years?
Exactly. Brendan, what's on at the Panada?
Hey, okay. Well, tonight we have local dance group, Studio One Dance Academy. They're putting on the Jazzy Nutcracker, which is kind of their annual event. They have two showings tonight. They have one for the littles and one for the bigs. So the little kiddos are performing at 5:30. And then the bigger, more advanced students are performing at 7. And they've got quite a nice set for this. They've got a pro light technician, Dave Nygren, on the job.
Good.
And so it's going to be a pretty pro job over there. In just a few days, on Saturday, we have this Hundreds of Beavers, which a lot of people were scratching their heads when they saw the ad for this movie. So this is one of our $5 movies over there that we've been running. And this is one of those indie kind of accidental hits where, you know, a few guys came up with an idea in a bar back of the napkin. Mm-hmm. They put together a low budget film. And next thing you know, it's winning 20 awards, nominated for 20
And they
more.
Did it. They did it.
And they did it. And it's hilarious. So highly recommended to come out and check that one out. That one got a 97 by the critics on Rotten Tomatoes and somewhere around an 85 by the audience score. So it's a good one.
I'd suggest that if you have questions about the movie on Saturday, go to thepanada.org/events/events and watch the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give you a good idea of what you're jumping into, and it looks like sheer fun.
It definitely does.
And that's Saturday at what times?
That is, so we have two showings, 1 p.m. matinee with closed caption.
Okay.
And a 6 p.m. showing.
Perfect. Perfect. And doors open?
Half hour prior to each show.
So 12:30 and 5:30.
That's right.
Cool. Saturday. This Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. Going all day. And, you know, I guess one thing folks should know about is our upcoming community board board meeting on February 6th. And this is, you know, this is open to the public, as always, at the Little Theater. And that one's at 6 p.m. And the room will be warm. And what this one's going to cover is some of the floor plans proposed for a lobby renovation in the main Panetta Theater. So you can see those floor plans in the storefront, on the south storefront of the Panetta Theater. So check those out. Come to the board meeting. And see what else is happening over at the theater.
Okay, and anything else to wind down January in on the panel? I know last weekend was a jam-packed Banff Film Festival.
Yeah, so I guess we'll look back here for a sec. The Banff, you know, the somewhere around the 29th, 30th annual Banff Film Festival here at the Panetta, put on by Mountain Fever Productions, was a hit, as usual. Sold out the first two nights. The third night was just about sold out, and just a packed house, just tons of fun. Lots of money raised for local charities, or sorry, nonprofits, ski groups for kids and whatnot. So great event. Come on out next year if you get the chance. And kind of to round out the month here, coming up on the 31st, POAC presents, Ponderay Arts Council presents Living Voices, The New American. So as always, you know, POAC brings us some great art, great performances, and this is no different. This is a really neat montage, kind of a collage of live acting, film, music, all kind of put together in a storytelling kind of approach to America. So a little bit of American history, people coming over from overseas to the U.S. back in the day.
Okay, and that sort of gets you out of January, doesn't it?
It does, yep. But, you know, let's not forget, right over the hump there into February, we've got Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. So, you know.
A fun movie.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And if you have any questions about any of these events, timing, doors opening, you can always go to panetta.org. Events.
That sounds great. Yeah. And I guess I just want to give a heads up that, you know, we're currently looking for more corporate sponsors to help us out with our movies. And we're going to put on a Sunday cinemas series here coming up from February through April. And we've got some sponsors lined up, but we would love to have some local companies and groups help us out, maybe put together something for our previews that we can roll in our pre-roll before the films with a video or photos of your business. So we'd love your help. We'd love to have you be a partner over at the Panetta.
Yep. And speaking of movies, earlier this morning, the Oscars were the people and movies nominated in the different categories. Were released this morning. So
I missed that.
Yep. Came out at 5:30.
Okay.
And
you're on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the movies that did get attention is on out at the Bonner Cinema right now, A Complete Unknown.
Oh.
That got quite a few nominations.
The Bob Dylan
biopic. And okay. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. So, Brendan, anything else in closing about the Panetta before we close down this edition of The Morning Show?
You know, just keep an eye on our webpage and our check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram. We're posting more than ever these days, and we've got a lot coming up. So we'd love to see you swing by and enjoy yourself over there.
And February 6th, a Thursday at 6 o'clock, is the community meeting about, one of the topics will be the renovation of the lobby of the Panetta Theater. So get a view of the different floor plans, and you can do that by walking by the store frontal rental, the front of it to the south of the Panada, and there's diagrams there. So thank you very much, Brendan, for coming in.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you also very much. Have a good weekend. Stay warm. And don't forget your pets if you're taking them out. 5 Ponderay.